evidence of salvation as a recognizable signs that true conversion has occurred? How can seekers tell if God has worked in their hearts? Several passages in the Bible spell out a number of definite signs of conversion. 1 John, for example, lists these marks so clearly that Bible commentators have described the main points of this epistle as the tests of life. John says emphatically in 1 John chapter 2, verse 3, that we may know that we truly know him by certain evidences. Romans chapter 8 also describes several clear signs and indications of conversion. However, for memorizing the signs, Acts chapter 2 provides the most succinct and easy to follow list. We now proceed directly to a review of the signs of conversion presented in Acts chapter 2. Luke's magnificent record in Acts chapter 2, verses 37 to 38 and verses 41 to 47 provides a detailed view of the great change in the attitudes and life of several thousand people converted on the day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 2, verses 37 to 38, verses 41 to 42, verses 46 to 47 says, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers, with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God." Six of the chief signs of conversion are found in this passage. There was no doubt about the deep personal experience of these men and women. They were totally changed in mind and heart, and it was none of their doing. For the Lord had transformed them. The description in Acts chapter 2 assures us that conversion can be discerned. If we are concerned about our own salvation, then we must ask, have we experienced these signs or evidences of the Lord's work in our lives? These signs may be the very encouragement we need. Roman numeral 1, conviction of sin. Conviction of sin. The first sign of conversion in the passage is the experience of conviction of sin, which leads to true repentance. Acts chapter 2, verses 37 to 38 says, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins." Baptism could be carried out only when the people had shown that they were pricked in their heart, or cut to the heart, as the Greek indicates, thus showing real shame and concern for sinful lives and genuine longing for forgiveness. Repentance is a change or reversal of mind, a turning from sin and to God. It involves two matters: our attitude to sin and to the Lord. At the onset of the conviction of sin, we are not only ashamed of our sin, but we also lose our taste for sin. We long to leave it and be different. Furthermore, we change our minds about the Lord, seeking him as the only Savior. Many people today who claim to be Bible Christians have diluted the clear teaching of the Bible about conversion. They say that a total break with the old sinful worldly lifestyle is not necessary. They claim that repentance merely refers to changing one's mind about Jesus Christ, that's all. Small wonder their so-called converts keep up their worldly ways and tastes. But this is not true conversion according to the pattern of the New Testament. We may safely sum up the matter as follows. No shame, no conversion. No dependence upon Calvary alone, no conversion. No break with the old life, no conversion. No separation from the world, no conversion. Here are the key questions to which you need to know the answer. Have you ever felt wretched and deeply ashamed at your sinfulness before a holy God? Have you truly repented, fixing your hope on the atoning death of the Lord Jesus as the only Savior? Roman numeral 2, understanding Scripture. Understanding Scripture. The second sign of conversion is seen in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. They continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. The original Greek indicates that they continue strongly attached to apostles' doctrine. They endured or persevered. It's a sure sign of conversion when someone's mind has been opened up to understand and love the Word of God, and when its authority and rule are established in the heart. A true convert grasps the significance of God's Word and becomes fixed and even riveted on it and firmly loyal to it. This is a sure sign because 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 14 emphatically states that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Unsaved people find the Bible complicated, obscure, and difficult to understand. Then, when truly converted, they suddenly find its pages glowing with light and meaning, and their hearts warmed and moved by it. The Spirit alone unlocks the Scripture in such a way. New converts may not instantly understand difficult books such as Ezekiel or Revelation, but whereas they were blind to all the word, conversion enables them to see with new eyes. The once dry pages come to life. On the other hand, people who make no headway at all with the Bible are most unlikely to be true converts, regardless of any profession of faith they may make. You must ask yourself what the Bible now means to you. Has it acquired a new and gripping authority over your life? Genuine converts will want to do whatever it says. They will not flippantly debate every issue, but will be readily challenged and guided by what Scripture teaches. This aspect is also referred to under the fifth sign. It is also important to look for steadfastness in this newfound susceptibility to the Word of God. Important questions. Do you blow hot and cold? Do you disappear for weeks on end and then return to the house of God as though you had never been away? Can you turn your spiritual feelings on and off like a light switch? Can you turn your spiritual feelings on and off like a light switch? It often happens that someone seems to be deeply affected by the word and filled with apparently sincere belief, But unfortunately, the impression fades as quickly as it came. Steadfastness is an excellent sign that God's word has a new authority in the life of one who is truly converted. The new nature certainly does not turn against the word. Roman numeral 3, the family bond. The family bond. The third sign of conversion in Acts chapter 2 verse 42 is seen in the word fellowship. They continue steadfastly in fellowship. Those who trusted in Christ on the day of Pentecost suddenly became firmly attached to God's people. This strange and deepening desire to be with Christians, this mysterious sense of closeness or kinship, is another of the certain signs of true conversion, as we learn from 1 John chapter 3, verse 14. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. We may add the well-known words of Ruth chapter 1, verse 16, in which Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God." If someone is inclined to hang back after meetings, to talk with believers, and is eager to accept invitations for fellowship, this may well be another sign of real conversion. A deep need for spiritual companionship may indicate that the Lord has grafted that person into his own spiritual family. The royal blood of the family of heaven flows in the veins of all true converts, for they are made fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. If, however, a supposed convert seems still to prefer the world's fellowship, it is a bad sign. Where there is no close bond with Christians, no need of fellowship, and no desire to speak about the things of God, it is unlikely that true conversion has yet taken place. The unique bond which relates one believer to another is implanted into every true Christian at conversion. Do you see such a bond and sense of belonging in you? True converts also feel a gap developing between themselves and unbelieving friends. This may often be painful, but it is inescapable. The true convert feels different and is now committed to different principles and desires. There is certainly a desire and longing for the salvation of former friends. But the old attachment is deeply affected by conversion. And this fact provides evidence of the work of the Spirit in the heart. One caution should be noted at this point. Young people have a natural affinity for one another. And it often happens that false converts respond well to a young people's fellowship type of environment. This possibility will be increased if the young people's group places an unwise and unspiritual emphasis on recreational activities, as some do. Unconverted young people may embrace the spiritual message of a fellowship simply because the friendship of their peers has become important to them. We would do well to note this. Roman numeral 4. Discovery of prayer. Discovery of prayer. Another clear sign of conversion mentioned in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, is the practice of prayer. In verse 42, they continued steadfastly in prayers. Those Jewish converts would previously have known nothing of real personal prayer with conscious and direct access to God. Their prayers were offered through the synagogue machinery and the priests. Personal prayer was generally nothing more than a cold paganistic repetition of prayer. However, once they were truly converted, these believers could not keep away from the prayer meetings. For they had discovered the warmth, the wonder, the privilege, and the power of feelingful, effective prayer. They become conscious that they were God's own children and their great high priest in the heavens listened to every cry. Their hearts were warmed as they prayed and they received definite answers. The discovery of prayer is a wonderful sign of conversion. Such a sense of being a child of God with a strong desire to go into His presence comes from the work of the Spirit alone. Galatians 4 verse 6 says, "Because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His sons into your heart, crying, Abba, Father." Converts who have nothing to say about this personal experience of prayer must be viewed with great caution. Do you have anything to say about the kind of things you pray for? Have you left behind the purely selfish and petty prayers of unconverted people? Having learned to pray for spiritual blessings such as understanding, power over sin, and blessing in witness? True converts soon show that they understand about spiritual prayers. They give evidence of being much more concerned about unsaved relatives or friends than about themselves. And they also praise the Lord in their prayers. If people profess conversions yet fall into panic and gloom at every trial that comes into their lives, it is unlikely that this previous and essential sign of conversion has ever been experienced. Older, genuine converts may well slip away from the practice of prayer to their shame and loss. But the discovery of prayer is a very prominent sign of conversion in the earliest stages of Christian experience, as the Acts chapter 2 passage shows. True converts instinctively take their problems to the Lord in prayer. And when they do this, we know that they have really found Him. I can speak from experience. It's true. And Roman numeral 5, the new heart. The new heart. Another sign of conversion is described in Acts chapter 2, verse 46, where we are told that the converts of the day of Pentecost were characterized by a sincere, uncompromising dedication and loyalty of heart, described as singleness of heart. In other words, a great change takes place in the innermost thoughts and feelings of the converted person, leading to great openness to the things of God, dedication to His cause, and purity of motive. Truly converted people are very ready to change their lifestyles to please God. They do not have dual motives, wanting divine blessings with worldly fame, fortune, and pleasures at the same time. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, I'm sure you're all very familiar with it. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The old hardness and coldness of the heart is removed, so that converts become deeply concerned about their relationship with the Lord and readily touched by spiritual things. They become spiritually sensitive to God's will and to the Christian duties, gaining responsive hearts. New motives, tastes, and ideals enter in, and a new standard of conduct takes over. The world and all its sinful pleasures turn sour to their taste, so that the things they now like best are all connected with the things of God. For the words of Christ in Luke chapter 12, verse 34 are true. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. A genuine new convert is noticeably teachable and moldable. The person who was previously inclined to be haughty and arrogant suddenly wants help and guidance on the spiritual pathway. We are often amazed at the change which comes over people. Their hearts are so totally changed that they want very much to do the right things. They may still have moments of stubbornness and resistance to God in certain matters, but there is generally a marked susceptibility to teaching and exhortation. It is a very powerful sign of conversion when an aloof and rather conceited person suddenly becomes warm, humble, and teachable. That is true conversion. When, on the other hand, so-called converts remain addicted to worldly possessions, ambitions, fashions, and rock music, and are completely unmoved when serious advice is given from the Word of God, then we must gravely doubt that the new heart has been received. This new heart includes an attitude of great reverence and respect for the Lord, as well as deep love. In this very passage, Acts chapter 2, verse 43, we read that fear came upon every soul. Fear. This refers to a reverential fear or awe. The new heart is very careful to obey the Lord and very conscious of His presence, holiness, and power. The highly casual and flippant so-called convert has probably never received the new heart. The same goes for the kind of person we often find leading certain kinds of Christian gatherings. People who employ a highly irreverent style of informality, behaving more like show business personalities than ambassadors for Christ. Unfortunately, with the passing of time, believers may lose their first love and go through seasons of coldness and disobedience. This is a serious and spirit-quenching fault. But at the beginning of the Christian life, the warm, open, responsive, obedient heart is very evident and must be rated as a prime sign of conversion. Roman numeral 6, an initial measure of assurance. An initial measure of assurance. Acts 2, 41 to 47 describes people who clearly possess at the beginning of the Christian experience a good measure of assurance or certainty. How do we know that? Their gladness in verse 46 and their praising God in verse 47 point to this, as well as their love and commitment. All true converts will experience an initial blessing of assurance that they belong to Christ, even if it fades because of doubts stirred up by the attacks of Satan. The Bible speaks of a seal of assurance which is given to all Christians at the time of their conversion. Ephesians chapter 1 verses 13 to 14 reads, "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance." And this same blessing of assurance is mentioned also in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 22. We have no right to expect newborn babes in Christ to have enormous certainty and complete assurance, but we do expect to see the seal. This seal is a sign of attestation and authenticity, like the impression made in wax by a seal or signet ring. It is the kind of seal that noblemen of old would fix to their documents and letters to authenticate them. It is God's mark of ownership impressed upon the believer. In every true conversion, the Holy Spirit will place His authenticating seal upon His own work. True converts experience feelings quite different from anything they have known before. They taste a measure of peace such as the world cannot give. And this usually includes a real sense of having received forgiveness. The Bible tells us that the seal is the earnest, the pledge, the deposit, or the foretaste of the Christian's future inheritance. From this, we conclude that true converts will also receive a sense of wonder at being heirs of heaven. Because God set His seal upon conversion, converts will definitely feel that something wonderful has happened to them. They will sense that their desires have changed, that they've been given a new hatred of sin, and that a new power has been given them over their controlling sins. The authenticating seal of the Spirit is therefore felt within the hearts of converts, but it is also visible to onlookers in terms of a changed demeanor. Did you ever have any certainty that you were converted? Did you at any time feel that you were forgiven and that you were a new person? Roman numeral 7. Very important point. Attacks of Satan. Attacks of Satan. Although not mentioned in Acts chapter 2, the antagonism of Satan to the new convert is also an essential sign of salvation. The adversary always shoots his fiery darts, doubts, despair, and lies into the true convert's mind. When prospects find themselves bombarded by doubts about the truth of the gospel and about their own spiritual progress, it may be a positive sign that the Holy Spirit has been working graciously in the heart. An unsaved soul still in spiritual bondage is not usually so troubled by satanic doubts and fears. The Lord Jesus taught this in Luke chapter 11 verse 21, saying, "When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace." In this verse, Satan is the strong man armed, pictured as a tyrant figure who does not harass or injure his slaves while they are safe from his fortified walls. True converts, however, are no longer in Satan's stronghold. They have been emancipated. And so for them, a great battle has begun. They now wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Therefore, the turmoil of mind they suffer, the doubts they so hate, and the uncertainty they often feel may all be evidence that the Lord has surely saved them and that they are now on the battlefield. Satan, in a way, overreaches himself when he launches his attacks on young converts. He proves to them the certainty of his existence and that he has a reason for attacking them. His strategy of making no assault until people become converted may be demonstrated from the experience of people who grew up in Christian homes, but who spend years as nominal Christians before they are really converted. During their unconverted years, they seldom doubt the historical reality of biblical events or the work and ministry of Jesus Christ. But the moment they sincerely turn to Christ, they begin to have doubts. Only then does Satan abandon his low-profile attitude and begin to harass them. Satan's strategy will vary. One moment he will plague the young believer with doubts about the Christian faith. Another moment he will switch his attack. Oh yes, he will say, it is all true. The Bible is true. The faith is true. Salvation is true. But you are not converted. You are deluded. Sooner or later, the believer will fall into sin, and the devil will seize this opportunity to press home the accusation. How could you possibly be a child of God? The very fact that young believers may be worried about whether they are truly saved is itself an evidence of conversion. If they are genuine Christians, then the state of their souls is the most important matter in their lives. Their spiritual standing is crucial to them, and their anxiety will virtually prove them to be children of God. Unconverted people do not go around in deep distress about their spiritual standing. They care more about the things of this world. Holy anxiety, as the Puritans called it, is therefore good evidence that a person's treasure is now in the kingdom of God. In summary, what are the seven signs of conversion? Number one, true repentance has occurred. The broken and contrite heart looks to God for mercy and grace. Number two, a new understanding of God's word and submission to his authority has dawned. Number three, a strong sense of attachment and belonging to God's people is present, by which we know we have passed from death to life. Number four, a wonderful new ability to pray is manifested, including praise and spiritual petitions. And prayers are answered. Number five, a new heart is received, along with new joy, character, tastes, and desires, because the believer has been set free from the world and directed to the things of God. With the new heart, the sanctifying process is commenced, the desire to obey and please the Lord. Number six, the peace of God and the initial sense of belonging and hence assurance are placed in the heart by the Spirit. And number seven, this is really scary. Even as a leader, I can experience the constant attacks on me. And these are spiritual attacks. We are wrestling with spiritual wickedness, not human wickedness. The assaults of Satan are now felt in new temptations, doubts, and fears. The spiritual warfare has begun. I would like to conclude by highlighting again, as I did 2 weeks ago, that salvation is a miraculous conversion experience. Salvation is a birth and a conversion experience. The new birth conversion is not a process, it is a supernatural, life-changing event. Coming to repentance and faith can be a process. Light and understanding may dawn gradually as a sinner comes under conviction. There may often be a protracted crisis in the heart before all the rebellion is subdued and the sinner is humbled before the Lord. A prospect's first prayers of repentance may therefore be far from satisfactory from the great search of hearts, and a period of further conviction and seeking may often precede the moment when the seeking sinner is consciously born again. Only when the sinner is born again will all the signs of conversion, the evidence of salvation, shine out clearly. Only God can save us. I'd like to ask you to stand together with me now, if you don't mind. And let us bow our heads in prayer, eyes closed, and don't be looking around. And let us ask God to search our hearts. Evidence of salvation. This morning's message has been a guide to the marks of true conversion. Do the seven signs of conversion appear in your life? Do all the signs shine out clearly?